The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, Harvest. I'm so glad that you decided to be with us today. You picked a really great Sunday to be at Harvest. Today we're doing 6-minute sermons, and just wanted to set those up this morning. Every year we do this, we invite several of our leaders to share the platform for the morning and tag team preach. They each get 6 minutes. We put a clock on the screen and you can see the time and they can see the time, and adds a little bit extra pressure there, but it's a lot of fun. And today our theme is best year ever. I really do believe that this is going to be our best year as a church and your best year for you and for your family. Our theme verse this year in John 15 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And our prayer is that this year we will live lives that matter, that our lives will produce fruit that will have a lasting impact in our city, in our families, in our church. And so this year, you're going to hear from some amazing speakers. Pastor Christy and Pastor Jace, our Cuesta and Rio Rancho campus pastors. So excited that they're joining us today. You're going to hear from them, along with one of our other staff members, Josiah, our worship leader. And then a couple of our high-level leaders, Rena and Jeremy, they're going to come and they're going to be preaching this morning as well. You're going to have an incredible time. You're also going to hear via video from some of our mentors, Lisa and I, our mentors, my dad and her dad, and Pastor Hennessy, Pastor Scott Wilson, and Chris Songson. They sent in some video encouragement for us this morning. So help me right now. Pastor Christy is coming to the stage. She's going to kick us off this morning with our first best year ever 6-minute sermon. So why don't you help me right now? Let's welcome her as she comes and kicks things off. And Harvest, have the best year ever.
Come on, praise God. Let's give God some praise in here. We worship you, Jesus, and we thank you, God, that we're excited to be in the house of the Lord. Are you excited to be here? Come on. We got a word for you this morning, right? And in case I mess up, don't worry, there's 5 more after me who are going to be able to get that word across to you, so don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, best year ever. Best year ever. Do you believe it? Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Be still. The word "be still" in Hebrew is Rapha. Surrender. Let go. That's the meaning in Hebrew. Surrender, let go. And to illustrate that, I'm going to tell you a little story. I remember, I grew up in Denver till I was about 13, and then I got to go to Cuesta, New Mexico in the summers. And Cuesta is a small town where I got to spend my summers with my grandparents, and the population is about 1,700, and about 1,000 of them are my cousins. And so I remember my cousin got a Kawasaki motorcycle for her 8th birthday, and gosh, I really wanted to give that thing a ride. And she, you know, in Cuesta, riding Kawasakis and four-wheelers and trucks when you're 8 years old, that's all normal. There's nothing wrong with that. And she was about to get her driver's license at the age of 8 already, and she was already about to get married. So, no, anyway, she goes, "Hey, yeah, you could ride my Kawasaki." So one day she wasn't home. I got on the bike, and I rode down to my grandma's house, and it was about a block away. That's city terms, because I know if I try to say an acre or whatever, you guys would be like, what? So about a block away from her house, I ran into my grandma's, I got my snack, I came back out, and I'm getting on this motorcycle, and I straddle across it, and see, on this dirt bike, you got to kickstart it, okay? So here I am, I'm about to kickstart, and I'm going like that, and I'm trying to press the button at the same time, and I'm kicking and kicking, and all of a sudden, I just hear boom, 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 and I'm like, whoa, and it's jolting me, and I'm starting to take off. I thought I was in neutral, but I'm going, and I'm, so with one hand, I'm hanging onto the handlebar, and the other hand, I'm waving around, and it's kind of like I'm a bull rider, right? And see, I'm trying to reach for the brake, which is on the handlebar, but every time I'm going for the brake, I'm accelerating more, and I'm thinking, if I could just grab that, and in my mind, I can hear, more. But I could also hear, too legit to quit. Hey, hey, too legit. And I don't know why that song is in my head. And I'm riding along for the ride. I feel like one of those inflatable tube dancers that are outside advertising on the street, open or closed. And I'm whiplashing around. And I could see a forehead. And then I'm back down to, I see dirt. And then I see a foot. And I'm going up. And all of a sudden, I could hear, like, the song Too Legit is fading out, and I could hear the motorcycle fade out, and I catch a glimpse of my grandpa. He looks like Ricky Ricardo from I Love Lucy, and he's saying, let go. And I'm like, he's saying, let go, let go, let go. And he's running alongside me, let go. But I'm thinking, if I could just get the break, you know, everything's going to be okay if I could just get the break. And finally, I just let go. And I dropped the motorcycle, and I fall, and I'm all bruised and banged up, and my ligaments are stretched, and my head is hurting, and my elbows and my knees are bloody, and I'm embarrassed, I'm humiliated. But as I was reading Psalm 46, that story came to my mind, because the Lord was telling me, be still and know that I am God. And I want to encourage you, in 2019, this is going to be the best year ever, because we are going to be still. We are going to surrender. We're going to let go of what we're reaching for and what we're trying to hold on to that we think is going to make everything better in our life. You know, I was trying to reach for that break. I was trying to get that break. And in my own power, I was trying to control things, and God is saying, be still, let go, quit trying to reach for what you think is going to provide comfort, quit trying to reach for what you think the answer is, quit trying to provide a temporary solution for your problems, and trust in me. Be still and know that I am God. And if you read the entire Psalm 46 in its entirety, I love how it references to the God of Jacob. It didn't reference to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it references to Jacob, somebody who came from a messed up family, somebody who had a messed up background, and he was just trying to control things in his own power and in his own might. He was trying to make his way. And maybe that's how you are this year. You're going through some financial crisis, and you're going through some marital crisis, and you're going through some hard times, and you're trying in your own power to make things right. And God is saying to you, this is going to be the best year ever if you know that I am God. If you know that I am God. Jacob, he wrestled with God, and he was feeling God, right? He was touching God, and God told him, let go. You can't hold on to me forever. You're going to have to trust that I am with you, that I am God, even when you can't feel me. Come on. Even when you can't feel God, you got to trust him in 2019. Come on. You got to trust God this morning. Come on, Pastor Jason. Come on, trust God. Give it up for Pastor Jason.
Good morning, Harvest. How you guys doing this morning? Doing well? If you haven't caught on yet, the message this morning is best year ever, right? The best year ever. And I believe that the way that we can have the best year ever is with three simple words. Do you want me to share those with you this morning? Three simple words. The best year ever. The way you can have the best year ever is by putting God first. If you put God first in your life, I promise you, you will have the best year ever. It might not be the easiest, it might not go perfect, but it will be the best year ever. Do we believe that this morning? We live in a culture, in a society where everything is about us. It's a me culture. It's a me society, right? All you have to do is go on Facebook for 2 minutes, and you can look on Facebook, and you can see that we live in a me culture. Can anybody relate? I don't have Facebook. I don't do Facebook, but my wife does. And so every once in a while, I'll happen to see that she's looking at something or looking at somebody's Facebook page, and somebody's posting pictures of their food or posting pictures of their house or posting pictures of something that they're doing. And it just makes me think, oh, man, we are all about ourselves. We're self-absorbed in this society, right? And so it made me think that if we want to have the best year ever, we've got to stop being about ourselves and start being more about God. Putting him first in our lives, not putting ourselves first. And this goes to so many different things in our lives that we can talk about putting God first instead of ourselves. And one of the very first things that was brought to my mind as I was preparing was the very first commandment that God gave us. And it's this, that you love God first, right? Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So I read that and I go, well, if that's the first and that's the greatest commandment that we were commanded as believers to follow is to love God first, that means that we need to put him first in our lives, right? That means that he should be the first thing in our lives before our marriages, before our finances, before anything. Do we believe that this morning? If we put him first in our lives, he can get us through this crazy thing we call life. The ups and downs, the valleys and the mountains, all the craziness that happens in life. As long as we put God first, he's going to get us through it. You believe that? I believe that we need to put him first in our finances. This is a fun one that people don't really like talking about. But if we put him first in our finances, he's going to bless us. I was reading in Malachi 3 last week as I was preparing to do tithe and offering at Rio. And in this scripture, it says that God says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. He said, test me in this. And then later on it says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't contain, right? The thing that just totally gets me is that God says, test me. And the way that I interpret it, the way that I understand that, is that if we put our faith and our trust and our hope in God, that he's going to bless us, right? When we say, God, I'm going to put you first in my finances. I'm going to put you first with my money. I'm going to put you first with my mortgage, with my job. I'm going to put you first. God's going to bless us. Do you believe that? I think that we need to put God first in the calling that he's placed on our life. I know that each and every one of you all have a calling that God's placed over your life. Whether you're young or you're old, it doesn't matter. God has a calling for your life, a purpose for your life. And I think in our society, in our selfish society, I think too many times we put ourselves first and we say, God, I'm going to put your calling on the back burner. And when I feel like it, when I'm ready, I'll chase your calling, right? But we need to put the calling of God on our lives first. And if we do that, it's going to be the best year ever. We look at this other scripture verse that got my attention. Luke 12, verse 31. It says, do not keep worrying about having something to eat or something to drink. Only people who don't know God are worrying about such things. Your Father knows what you need, but put God's work first and these things will be yours as well. Another version says, seek his kingdom first and everything will be added to it, right? So right here in scripture, it says, if we put God first, if we seek what God wants for our lives first, everything else is going to come after that. Again, like I said before, it's not going to be peaches and cream and everything's going to be great. But if we put God first, it's going to be the best year that we've ever had. Put God first in your marriage. Put God first in your family. Put God first with your kids. Put God first from the smallest things you do to the biggest things you do. Put God first. I want to tell you a story. And this may seem insignificant, but put God first when you're purchasing a vehicle or you're purchasing a home. For my family, we have a growing family. For those of you who know us, we have a small tribe of, I have five kids, so we've got quite a few. And so our three-bedroom house just wasn't big enough for what we needed to do. And so we went and looked around and found this house that we really liked. And we were like, man, this is the perfect house. And it was outside of our budget. We were like, man, I don't think we can buy this house, but it's perfect for our needs. And so before we even left that house, the first time we saw it, my wife and I said a prayer, and we chose to put God first. We said, God, if it's your will that we get this house, then it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly, and it's going to happen easy, right? So we left it at that. We went and looked at other houses. We did other things. And mind you, this is at the time back in the spring when houses were selling like crazy. They'd put a house on the market and we'd go to put an offer and already be sold. So we decided to put God first. We knew that was the house that we wanted. We put God first. We said, God, if it's your will, it's going to happen. And we went back a few weeks later and we were able to purchase the house at a price that was comfortable for us. And it all worked out. And it all worked out according to God's will. And I could sit here for 20 minutes and tell you about all the amazing things that God has done in this situation by us putting God first. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, Harvest, that in 2019, if you'll choose to put God first in your life, if you'll choose to put God first in every area of your life, It's amazing what he's going to do. It's going to be the best year that you've ever had. Do you believe that this morning? Amen.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. My name is Jeremy. Today, I'm going to be talking about this idea of being deeply moved by the quiet. And not just the quiet itself, but being deeply moved by the quiet moments that we spend with God as we consider our life and our choices and all the things that come at us. Before I do that, I do want to just say how much I really, really do love this time of year. Ever since I was a kid, I remember taking it really seriously that when a new year comes, you kind of get a fresh start. And as a kid in a family of four, I really needed that grace. And so this time of year, I love it. It kind of gives you an opportunity to check your pulse a little bit, to kind of recalibrate a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of y'all are doing that. And I know I'm a couple weeks behind, so maybe all the planning has started for you. But as you kind of put pen to paper and create that game plan for how you're going to accomplish your goals, I think I do have something that I believe that the Lord wants you to hear as you continue forward toward that. And I do need to give a little disclaimer. This isn't original thoughts created by Jeremy. I'm stealing this a little bit from Bishop Ron Washington from Birmingham, Alabama. I had an opportunity to study under Bishop Washington for about 15 months, and it's just my opinion that he is one of the most eloquent and gifted communicators of the gospel that I've ever come encounter with. And Bishop Washington was encouraging us, our group, one day, and he just kind of said, "Man, when me and my wife first got together, our relationship and our love was so loud." And we're kind of like, "I don't really know what you're talking about, Bishop." But he went on to say, "Well, my love for her was loud," and then he went on to say, "Well, I loved her at first sight. She didn't really love me yet. So it took a while, but I was going to do everything in my power to make sure that I got her attention and to make sure that I kept her attention." And then he said, "As our love increased, it became more quiet." And then he said, Since then, there hasn't been a single big decision in our lives that hasn't happened in quiet. So as our love increased, the quiet increased. And so I just thought that was a really good insight. He went on to say that this is kind of how it is with God. When we're new believers, God is loud. He gets our attention. But as our love increases for the Lord, he begins to speak softly. And I just thought that was really wise that he would, one, pick up on that, but also just follow Jesus's example. If you look at the Gospels of Jesus, you can see this happening all throughout the Gospels. But today I want to focus on the book of Mark, and just a couple of things about the book of Mark is the first thing, the author of the book of Mark is a little bit anonymous, and so I'm just going to refer to him as the author. And the other thing is, if you study the book of Mark, it's really easy to see that it seems as though the author was in a really big hurry. He uses the phrase "immediately" or "at once" 39 times in that gospel. And it's not that he wanted to just finish and be done, but he really, really wanted to get to the cross. And if you've never heard about Jesus's work on the cross, it's kind of the Super Bowl for us. It's the biggest and most life-changing event. It literally split time. And not only that, it gave us an opportunity to have an opportunity to know the Lord. Anyways, oh shoot, I forgot my spot. Here we go. I knew this was gonna happen. So one of the things that I do appreciate about the author of Mark is that even though he was in a hurry, he didn't pass over what I'm trying to say is he gave the appropriate amount of time to this fact that even though he was quick to get through that story, he didn't. He acknowledged the fact that Jesus wasn't in a hurry, that Jesus took his time, and Jesus often, he got away from the crowd, right? He went up to the mountainside. He went down by the ocean side. He went in the fields, and he went in the wilderness, and he got away to a solitary place. And we see him reference this 17 times in that gospel, that Jesus cut away. And if we continue to read and we continue to study, we see that those moments where Jesus was by himself, they didn't happen in vain. When Jesus went and did that, there was power that drove his ministry forward. Every single significant moment in Jesus' ministry is preceded by those quiet moments that he had with the Lord. Every single time. The beginning of Jesus' ministry. Before that, he was in quiet with the Lord. Before his baptism, before he called his team together, before people started to believe what he was talking about, before the crowds gathered, before the leaders of the time started to hate him, before they wanted him arrested, before he willingly chose to lay his life down for all of humanity, he spent time in quiet. And so I want to encourage you with that this year to do the same thing. And as you, as your time in quiet increases, my hope and my prayer for you is that your faith would increase also to accomplish the things and the goals that the Lord has for you this year. And if we do this, if we spend time in quiet, I really, really do believe that we will have the best year ever. Thank you, guys.
Good morning, Harvest. How many of you know the year 2019 is going to be the best year ever? Now, I have to tell you, I like to look this time of the year because you kind of look back at 2018 and you want to see what you want to take from the past and bring into the future to, you know, this year. But you also want to kind of not dwell on it, but look at your mistakes. What do I not want to bring in to 2019? Well, as I was looking back, there's one thing I do want to bring in, and I want to tell you the story about, is Jeff and I last year went to Puerto Rico for our 39th year anniversary. Woohoo! That's right! We can celebrate that! And as we were we like to get out, and we like to get by ourselves, and so we met some of the local people, and we got to hear about a place to go snorkeling. Now, we got really excited about that, and as soon as we left, we head out to go snorkeling. Now, we get there, and it is breathtakingly beautiful. There's this ridge that comes around, and the ocean hits it, and there's a spray going on, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Now, before I can even set out my little chair to sit down and get some sun rays, Jeff's already in the ocean. Now, I'm already getting ready to sit down, and all of a sudden, I hear him yell, "Rita, you gotta see this! Come on! There's some beautiful fish out here, all sizes and shapes! Get your gear on! Come on!" So I didn't want to disappoint him, so immediately, looking as beautiful as you can in flippers, start heading towards that ocean. And when I got there, I have to admit, there was a little bit of fear. Like, what's in that ocean? Sharks? The waves coming, and they're hitting hard. And all of a sudden, I'm not really feeling like I should go in. But Jeff says, "Come on, you've got to see this." So I get ready to go in, and the waves hit. And when it does, I back up. Pretty soon, the waves go out. I start to head towards it again. All of a sudden, it goes back towards me, and I just panic quickly as I can backwards. And Jeff says, "You just got to relax a little bit. Lay down on that beach. Relax. Those waves will take you out." So I start to relax. I'm getting down there. All of a sudden, I see that wave. Oh, my gosh, it's going to hit. Boom. It does. But when it hits me, it knocks me into that rock. And I kind of get up and shake it off. And he says, "I said relax, just relax." You know, that's easy for him to say, is it not? So sure enough, I get down. I'm getting ready. Okay, relax, relax, relax. Oh, my God. And it hit. And sure enough, I hit that rock. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm not a happy camper. In fact, I am done with this. I don't care about those fish anymore. I don't care what Jeff's got to say. I'm not getting in that ocean. In fact, if you drown while you're out there, I'm not coming in to save you. I just want you to know. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. If you get these 3 points today and you apply them to 2019, it will be a game changer. I want you to take just a minute, that story I told you. Those waves represents the problems we have on earth. Here, whether it's financial, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's school. Just voice. Let's just take it for a minute and pretend like that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And those fish are the goals, are where God wants to take you. You see, when the problems come in and they hit, we have a tendency to back up. You know, I'm going to tithe this year. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to tithe. And we start heading, and all of a sudden, the book opens up, and it says we got more bills than we've got month. And all of a sudden, we back up. Or maybe it's our marriage, and we're going to push in. This year's going to be the best marriage ever. And all of a sudden, he or she gets snarky. I about had it. I'm backing up. And what do? All of a sudden, you kind of tune out the Holy Spirit, and you no longer push towards that goal that God has for you. Perseverance. Persevere. Through 2019. You see, I did not, and I never got to see the fish. Secondly, if you lack wisdom, ask. God will give it to you abundantly. So 2019, ask. Third, do not doubt. Do not doubt. The God that created the heavens and the earth, who raised Christ from the dead, can do anything in and through you. Do not doubt. In Jesus' name. Have a great 2019.
Good morning. When I was in college, a friend of mine and I were planning a summer trip. It was supposed to be down the West Coast, and as we were planning, I felt the Lord begin to speak to me, and then he started speaking to my friend separately as well. He said, I want you to make this trip about me. As we continued to pray, I felt the Lord reveal the rest of the details to us. He said, I want you to go on this trip with no plan of transportation or money in your pocket or places to stay for the night. Let me take care of all of the details. So we're like, okay, God, confirm this to us. And as he does, he gives us plane tickets, and we don't have to pay for those, and he provides those for us. So we're like, all right, God, we trust you. We're set. So there's a flight into Seattle and a flight down out of San Diego. That's about 1,500 miles. We're like, okay, God, we trust you. He's going to take care of all the details. I'd like to share a couple scriptures with you that impacted me as I was beginning to take this trip. Most of them are found in Matthew 6. So if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to start towards the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, 25 through 27 says this: Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. are you not much more valuable than them? Can any of you, by worrying, add even an hour to your own life? If you skip down to verse 33, it says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As I was thinking about these promises, I began to think, if God is not real and he isn't everything that he says he is, then the Bible must be meaningless. If God's not real, then the Bible must just be a bunch of words that people make up as words to live by. But if it really is, if God really is real, then we can stand on the promises as truth in that Bible and bet our lives on it. So that was what was festering in my heart as I began to prepare for this trip. And I knew I needed to know for sure, can I really stand on God? And I feel like we need this morning to be able to experience that in our own lives as well. God didn't make us to sit and wonder if everything that he says is true. He made us to go out and experience it and test it and really know, experiencing it. I believe this Sunday that God is trying to say over us for this new year to step out and act on what he is telling us to do and see if he does not provide for us. This is day 5 of the of that trip. It's my journal entry. It says this. This is hard. We slept in a sleepless park last night, and just 5 days ago, I had a bed to sleep in and a car of my own. I feel stripped bare, and it scares me. Yet even still, I'm reminded of the old words of a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I was counting the costs in that journal entry. I didn't know that I would find myself sleeping in a park with no comfort whatsoever. But that didn't mean I didn't want to follow him. It just meant I didn't know that that was going to happen. In fact, I feel like the Lord was revealing the entitlement that I had in my heart, that I expected all this comfort that really was a blessing in my life. And I realized that I didn't really need that to follow him. That was a blessing extra. In Matthew 8, 19 through 20, it says this. Jesus was at the shore of a lake when a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Just like that man, I was always saying that to the Lord, "I'll follow you anywhere," but I didn't know at that time what that would include. That's why I found myself burnt out and discouraged. I think that God is asking us today to truly trust him with everything that we do. It's not trusting him that he'll give us fast cars and luxury homes. It's trusting him to let him lead us in the adventure that he's specifically created us for. A life that fulfills, challenges, and is worthwhile. Trusting enough to let God lead and provide for what he's leading us into. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This life is short. It's here one day and gone the next. And I know that God has created big dreams in each and every one of our hearts, and he's created us for them. The Bible says that our imagination cannot even fathom what God has for us in store. This trip, the way it concluded was we spent 15 days going down the West Coast. God provided for every meal. We never went hungry. He prepared miracles out for us because we were trusting him, and we made it all 1,500 miles down to the plane where we were supposed to exit with no problems. People were saved on that trip even, and I'm so thankful to be able to stand here this Sunday and say that I felt more fulfilled in that moment where I had to trust God with everything in the discomfort than I ever have before, and I can stand on that this morning. So as you guys go, remember these three things. Store up your treasures in heaven and count the cost of following him. And then know that God always keeps his promises. Thanks, guys.
Greetings, Harvest Church. Jim Hennessy here from Cedar Hill, Texas, your representative, I guess. I love you guys so much, and I'm so excited about 2019. You know, the number 19 means transition. It means coming out of something into the new something, and I am declaring that over you. There is a title for 2019. The prophets have all agreed. It's going to be a year of joyful increase. And I'm releasing that over you right now. This is going to be a year of increased joy, increased faith, increased harvest, increased testimony of Jesus through signs and wonders. I am so excited. Jason and Lisa, I'm praying for you guys. I know that you're going to lead this church into the greatest year, best year ever. I believe it with all my heart. God bless you. Begin right now.
Good morning, Harvest Fellowship. This is Lisa's dad, Pastor Don, and I want to say that God's Word tells us that in His wisdom, the Lord plans and establishes our future. Praise God. Because of that harvest, God has some awesome things in store for you this year. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New International Version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Let me encourage you to willingly continue to follow Jason and Lisa's leadership in 2019. And as you do, I believe God will go before you and bless you. I pray for the favor of God to be on Jason and Lisa's continually, and may His favor rest on each one of you in 2019. Let's pray. Father, bless Harvest Fellowship. They are believing You and looking forward to the best year ever. We stand with them that all things are possible with You. Amen. God bless you, Harvest Fellowship.
Hey, Harvest Church, Happy New Year. I was speaking with your incredible pastor, Jason, was telling me about 2019 and the stirring that God is doing in his heart for 2019. And I just wanted to quickly give a shout out to you as a church. I love you guys. I've spoken at the church. You're an amazing church. And I just want to encourage you to get behind your leader, Pastor Jason, and go after 2019 like never before. Do you remember in scripture where the Lord spoke and he said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing"? I think that's for Harvest Church, that God is doing a new thing. And I want to believe with you, I want to pray with you, I want to stand with you that 2019 is going to be one of your best years ever. So here's my encouragement. Go all in, be at church, invite, share with other people about the church, watch the church grow, serve, be generous, be together and march together as a church and watch what God does. Let this year be the best year, the most incredible year, the most fruitful year, the most exponential year that Harvest Church has ever experienced. I'll be praying for you, and I love you.
Good morning, Harvest, and welcome to 2019. I know we're just jumping into this year, but last year, you were reminded over and over again of this simple truth, that God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever ask or imagine or request in your wildest dreams. So my question for you today is simply this. What kind of God dreams are you dreaming? Are you stepping into those dreams? Beyond the sermons that you listen to, beyond the challenges of the Holy Spirit in your life, are you actually embracing the dreams of God? How about dream talks? Are you having any dream conversations? This year at Harvest, I believe God wants to make this the best year ever. But if it's going to happen, you're going to have to step into the dreams that God has for you and your church.
Hello, Harvest. This is Pastor Scott Wilson at Oaks Church in Dallas, Texas. And I just want you to know something, and I mean it with all my heart. your pastors are the greatest pastors on the planet. Seriously, I've known Jason and Lisa since they were little kids before they even got married, and I'm telling you, back then I would have done anything to be able to get them on our team. I tried my hardest, but I couldn't do it. Why? Because God was telling them to do something else. They got married, had kids, and they're at the church in Albuquerque at Harvest, and you guys are now in the moment and in the time doing incredible things. I believe, guys, I'm telling you, I really believe that God has positioned your church, your pastors, for such a time as this to do something amazing. Pastor Jason and I have been talking regularly, and I believe this is the very biggest, best year ever in the history of your church. You guys are going to help train up other churches, other leaders. You guys are going to reach people like never before. You're going to disciple. I believe this is a year that each of you are going to not only lead a person to the Lord, but disciple them and to train them up. And Pastor Jason, everybody, they're going to teach you how to do this. It's amazing what God can do when we just say yes. And what I sense in my heart when I talk to Pastor Jason is there is a huge yes at Harvest. I love you guys. I believe in you guys. I hope to come see you sometime. In fact, I'm coming in just a few weeks. I love you. God bless you.
Pastor Jason and Pastor Lisa, Mercy and I want to say to you how much we love you, how much we thank God for you. What an honor it is to serve together in New Mexico Praise and America Praise and Convoy Hope. Thank you for your leadership for the city. Thank you for the way you love this city. Everybody knows that Harvest is a church that's all about Jesus and a church where they serve the city. And you guys live out Jeremiah 29:7 says to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray for the city. If the city prospers, you prosper. And you guys are living that out. You're a living epistle to our city. You're a love letter to our city from God. You're loving, you're serving, you're caring. And I'm believing with you, this is going to be your best year ever. Thank you for the way you've taught me to love better. I'm a better pastor because of your friendship, because of your example, because of your integrity, because of your honor. And it's such a privilege to be your friend and to serve with you in this great city. And I'm believing like Caleb, you're going to take your mountain this year. You're going to chase new mountains. You're going to chase lions. You're going to take new territory for Christ. This is going to be your best year ever, Harvest Fellowship. We love you.
Do you believe this is going to be your best year ever? Can we give it up for our speakers? Our thank you, leaders, for communicating, for doing an absolutely incredible job. You were given three words, and you turned it into a way to start our year, and it's amazing. Thank you, guys, so much. I get to close us out, which means I get the unlimited 6-minute sermon. I get to talk for as long as I want, but you know me, I'm not super long-winded. I wanna take everything and consolidate it real quick. And man, what do you need to let go of at the start of the year? What do you need to let go of? Now, knowing that's an easier question to ask in January. Like, it's easier to go to the gym in January than it is in March, right? That's an easier question right now to say, what do I need to let go of? But what's incredible is when God shows us what to let go of, He fills that space, right? For some of us in this room, the number one spot in our lives is taken up by something that's not God. And what Pastor Jay said was that if we need to put God first, what we first have to do is take out that thing, like Christy said, let go and put God first. How true is that? That when we do that, even though we've put God first, He might start getting quieter, but as we learned, as the quiet increases, the love increases. That when we start allowing God into our lives, He gets to stop screaming at us and gets to start talking to us. And that's not to say that being the best year ever, setting these things in place, putting them up, that we're going to have the perfect year, that nothing bad's going to happen, that magically, miraculously, that was the word I was trying to say, miraculously, all of our bills are all of a sudden paid, that we don't get in car accidents, that nobody ever gets sick. But it is to say that we still consider it pure joy. That whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that testing of our faith produces perseverance. So when it is March and you haven't been to the gym in a month, we remember that word of perseverance. One of my favorite things about James 1:2 is the fact that he says, consider it joy. And whenever we consider something joy in our lives, what we're actually seeing happen is a part of heaven coming into our lives. Why? Because Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So whatever difficulty comes your way, whatever struggle happens in front of you, and you make the conscious decision, I'm going to persevere and count it as joy, what you're actually saying is, God, I'm welcoming your joy into my life because I need that glimpse of heaven that happens when I do. And we're saying, God, I'm going to take your heart, which is what Jesus says in John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, and in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And knowing that that's what heaven, that is the heartbeat of Jesus, that we could take his heart, set ours that we put in that first place, and put his there instead. We find that joy, we persevere through it, and we find him. That's how we have the best year ever. That's how we set him as priority. Because I truly believe I can't be content in my life believing that, hey, what I have now is as good as it gets and that's all that I want. I have to believe that my next step is going to be better than the last, that the best is still yet to come. And I want to believe that for your life too. Everything that I have experienced with God has shown me that to be true. And whether you're in a place to take your first step, whether your first step is literally, Jesus, I'm going to accept you in my life, or your first step is Jesus, I'm going to step out in faith, believing that I can persevere in a different circumstance, in what you're calling me to, and what you're leading me to. Take that next step to your best year ever. Now, why? The question then following is why would I do that? Why would we live this way? Why would we believe these things? And it's our theme verse for the year, John 15:16. It's because we didn't choose him. But I, Jesus says, chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Fruit that lasts, it perseveres, it keeps going, it provides sustenance, that in the hardest weathers, in the hardest winters, that fruit keeps lasting. And that's what we're calling this year to be, a year that you and I will be fruitful. And that when the time comes and we need to call on our Father and say, God, I need you to intervene, he's right there with us. So I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss and get out of here. I told you I wouldn't be too long-winded. Believing that harvest, we will go and produce lasting fruit so that when the time comes that we call on our Father, he's there. Because he knows he can trust us as we've produced. Why don't you stand as I pray and we dismiss? Jesus, I love you and I thank you. And I thank you for who you are and what you've done. Now, God, my deep heart is that we do believe that the best is yet to come, that this will be the best year ever, knowing that that's your heart for us too, that through hard times, through trials, through struggles, that we will take heart, that we will pursue you, knowing that you are for us and not against us. God, will you bless us? Will you encourage us? Will you give us the opportunities in front of us to be the salt and light, to be fruitful, to rely on you in our lives? Whether that reliance starts today and this morning, or whether that reliance has been going on for forever and just needs to be strengthened, God, let us rely on you. We love you. We thank you for the best year yet to come. Now, God, as we go, will you bless us? Keep us warm. Let us avoid accidents on the way home or to lunch. God, let this be the best year ever because we put you first. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship Podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.